You okay, Jordan? Something wrong?
Yeah, I'm okay. It's just, I was really excited that we were looking at Psalms this term, but I'm just a little bit confused, because I thought we've been talking about Psalms being Israel's prayer book or its hymn book, but so far it seems like we've just listened to stories of enemies and fighting and kind of escaping. And it's just not really what I expected. I thought there'd be a little bit of praise.
Well, it's interesting. The book of Psalms, it is full of all sorts of prayers and songs for all sorts of situations and for people with all sorts of feelings and emotions. So there are psalms that help us to sing and to pray when all we want to do is praise God. But there are also psalms that help us sing and pray when we just can't even feel like we can get out of bed in the morning because life feels so hard and so rubbish. And we need all those sorts of songs and prayers as Christians and as a church.
But when are we going to get to a psalm that's actually about praising God?
Well, the psalms are arranged in a certain order, and they start, we could say, in the muck of life. That's what we've been seeing so far in the psalms. Psalms 1 and 2 showed us God's king, but he has lots of enemies. Psalms 3 to 7, well, they're all about God's king. We looked at Psalm 3 last week. David crying out to God because of his enemies. But then finally, after seven psalms of waiting, today we get to look at Psalm 8, where David turns his attention away from his enemies and praises God. He marvels at the majesty of his maker. That's what we're going to see in Psalm 8. That's what we're finally getting to today, a psalm that's all about praising God. So should we read it? I'm going to read it for us now. You want to find it in a Bible. It's on page 546 in the church Bibles, Psalm 8. And as I read it, what I want you to do is to look out for the reasons we should praise God. And if you hear something about animals, then maybe some of you brought an animal with you. If you saw our email last night, maybe you brought an animal with you, and you can wave that around when you hear mention of animals, okay? So Psalm 8, page 546 in the church Bible. Shall I read? For the director of music, according to Gittith, that's probably a sort of tune or something that was around then, a psalm of David. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants you've ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you've set in place, what is man that you're mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea and all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
Well, I think the theme of that seems pretty obvious to me. David even says it twice for us. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The rest of the psalm in between gives us reasons why God is so great and why we should praise him. So, was anybody listening? Can anybody tell me any of the reasons why we should praise God from the psalm? Josh is thinking hard. Anybody? Seb, you got one? Because he made the moon and the stars. That's right. Anything else? Go on, Seb. That is true. Yes. He separated the dry land and the seas. Yes. Made the sun.
Made the sun, that's right.
That's right. Jack? because he made the earth. Yes, he made the earth and the moon and everything we eat and everything we drink and everything. I think that was the answer. I think that's pretty close.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Jack's got a pretty all-encompassing answer there.
That's right.
But I don't know about you, but this sounds a little bit like another part of the Bible. Does anybody else think so as well? We've got heaven, moon, stars, sun, human beings, animals, fish, birds. Where have we read that before in the Bible? Anybody? Caitlin? Creation, that's right. Right at the start of the Bible, where God makes everything. So I think the writer of the psalm, David, is definitely pointing back to creation with this. It's a song of creation.
And so we thought it would be fun to spend some time doing some creating of our own for a few minutes now. So there's a box here. There's a similar box at the back. If you want to come and do some creating, then we're going to have a few minutes now. Ready, steady, go.
Go on, Caitlin.
Well done, Emmy.
We can take this back over here.
There you go.
Oops.
Oh, no.
Let's go. There you go. There's your train track. Oops, somebody left behind a panda. No, I know, I'm just leaving it there. Well done, everybody. Can you hold up what you've made if you made something? We'll have a look. Look at that. We've got some towers, got a truck. I can see some more vehicles over there.
There's a long train over here.
What is that, Jack?
Cheetah tower.
That's a gun. I thought you were trying to shoot me.
Yes, that's worrying.
A bit aggressive. Well, we've seen, haven't we, that God made all sorts of things. He made everything. Hold up your animals for me again. Let me show you. I brought some animals with me as well. I've got a bear here. Don't know if he'll sit up. Got a wolf. And we've got a tiger. Because God made all of these things. And here's the tower that I won't say I made it. I commissioned it earlier. Thank you to Miles and Matthew for making that for me. But Psalm 8 is all about the majesty of our Maker. His glory is set above the heavens because he made everything that exists. The heavens and the earth and everything in them are the works of his hands. But not just his hands, in fact, but his fingers. God didn't just slap his hands together and everything existed. God crafted and sculpted the world we live in. Everything that's made was made carefully by the fingers of our Creator, God. And in the midst of all that, the moon, the stars, the heavens, meteors, there's human beings. Next to the sky full of stars, we're so tiny. I'm looking for another small word. You might say minuscule. You can ask Les and Kat why that's funny later.
But amazingly, God made us. He cares for us. He isn't kind of just like a way up there, just like unreachable. No, he actually cares. Unlike kind of gods that people have worshipped throughout history, that really couldn't care less about humans, unless they want something in particular. But sometimes they can be even worse than that. Sometimes they actively hate humans and they want to hurt them. Do you think it's interesting that whenever humans have tried to come up with kind of like their own God, they imagine it and it's always really self-centered and self-absorbed, kind of doesn't care for anybody else? Think of the Marvel Universe and think of Star-Lord's dad in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, or Zeus in Thor 4, or any Greek mythology, if you know any of that. But it's only the God who reveals himself to us that actually cares. The one that made the earth
the stars and the moon is the one that actually made us, and he cares for us.
And verse 5 says that he made humans a little bit lower than heavenly beings, than himself. And not even just that, he crowned humans with glory and honor. That's huge. And we're so minuscule.
Emmy.
God really cares, and he cares a lot about the people he's made. So as a human, Psalm 8 says, I am crowned with glory and honor. I'm crowned as a king over creation, and so are you. All of us are. That's why it says we're made a little lower. God made us, but he's made us to rule over everything else he made. Flocks of sheep, herds of cows, birds of the sea, and birds of the air and fish of the sea, even the enormous, scary things that swim in the deepest, darkest ocean. In Genesis 1, when God makes everything, he says human beings are made in his image. That's why we can create things ourselves out of Lego and things. So we're part of God's creation, like everything else he made, but we're different because God has made us a bit like him to rule over what he's made. We are crowned with glory and honor. Isn't that amazing?
And so David says again, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Psalm 8 is a creation song, and that's, well, it's the point to point us to it, is to sing all about the majesty of our Maker. That's right. In Psalm 8, David wants us to join in with him to praise our majestic Maker, to celebrate our Creator God. Oh, no.
Jordan, did you hear that?
I think.
What is that? Did anyone else hear that? What is it? I think it's coming from out here. I'm going to go and have a look. It's okay. Don't be so angry. Okay, calm down. Hey! Psalm 8 says that I'm a ruler of creation, so you need to listen to me. Stop! Mr. Lion, stop! Stop! Oh, dear! Jordan, that did not go how I expected.
Well, how did you expect it to go?
Well, Psalm 8 just said that we're rulers of creation. So that should surely include lions. Why didn't the lion listen to me? And it took my crown.
Ah. Well, I think I can help you out with this one. You see, Psalm 8 is a song about the world, how God originally intended it to be. Maybe you notice this is the first psalm that doesn't really talk about enemies or kind of wicked people, not really a major issue. But as we've seen, God made humans in his image to listen to him and then to rule over his creation. But instead of listening to God, Adam and Eve listened to the snake, to the creation, and they disobeyed God. So we don't live in a world anymore that is how God originally intended it to be. Everything has been flipped upside down. That's the kind of world that we live in now. Because Adam didn't rule over creation like he was supposed to, like God told him to. Now we live in a broken world. Now we live in a broken world. Our gardens get weeds and thorns, and working is hard. Sometimes it doesn't even rain enough for food to grow. And lions don't listen to us.
And I guess, like Adam, we still don't rule over creation how God made us to, do we? Instead of looking after it, too often we abuse it and damage God's creation instead of caring for it.
Yeah, that's right. So the way that Psalm 8 talks about the world is the way that it's supposed to be, but that's not how it is today. So where does that actually leave us then?
Well, Psalm 8 is picked up in the New Testament a few times, but one of those times is in Hebrews chapter 2, where it quotes this psalm saying, Psalm 8 says, God has put everything under his feet. That's people's feet. But at the moment, Psalm 8 says, we don't see everything under his feet. But we do see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, but now is crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. You see, because we sinned, we didn't listen to God, the world isn't how God made it to be. But Jesus came to fix that, to die for our sin and to live how Adam should have lived, to be the Son of Man, as Adam should have been. You see, Jesus is the Son of Man. In verse 4 in Psalm 8, when it says Son of Man, it just means a human being, someone descending from Adam. But it becomes a title which Jesus uses. He is the Son of Man, the human being descended from Adam who lived how human beings are supposed to. Jesus came to fix what Adam had broken and rule over creation as Adam should have done. So if we're following Jesus, then Psalm 8 says we can praise God as our creator, looking to Jesus who has done what we should have done. And we can marvel at the majesty of our maker. And at the same time, we should, following Jesus, treat God's creation how he made us to, not how Jordan treated my creation.
And one day, as we saw in Psalm 2, one day Jesus will return to rule over the new world. We don't see Psalm 8 particularly being true right now, but we do know that Jesus is king over the whole world. And one day, the rest of the whole world will recognize Jesus as king as well, with everything under his feet. But in Psalm 8, David tells us to marvel at the majesty of our maker. And now that we know about Jesus, we know about Jesus, our majestic maker, we can praise even more than David did because we know more. We know that Jesus is our marvelous maker.